Okay, we'll get started here again this morning, the class. So Ephesians 4, and we'll pick up, we're going to start in verse 10 today, but a couple weeks ago, we talked about the idea of what that ascension that Jesus did. He who ascended on high when he led captive hosts of captives, and he also descended, you know, to the lower parts of the earth, and we talked how that wasn't necessarily like the right picture. That isn't, we picture a lot of times, well, hell is down and heaven is up, and really if we're pointing down, we're pointing to the other side of the globe, okay? And so hell is a spiritual place, okay? It's in the spiritual realm. Heaven's in the spiritual realm. And so if you look at sometimes we think, well, heaven's out in outer space. And the thing is that heaven's not in outer space, because outer space is a physical thing. The galaxies are physical still, okay? And so how many are galaxies and galaxies? You know, God is outside of them because he created all of them, okay? So it's a spiritual realm. It's a different realm that hell is in. And we talked about that. We're going to kind of go on today because when he talks about ascending, he gave gifts to men in verse 8. And we're going to talk a little bit about those gifts, and we're going to talk about the purpose of that. Again, we talked about the purpose of Jesus ascending and taking captive, the host of captives, wasn't just to simply take people out of bring them take people out of Hades, if you will. Now, we talked about Hades being, Hades was both, people were in Abraham's bosom in Hades, and people were in torment in Hades. And so the point of taking the captives wasn't just to take the captives. The point was freeing the captives from the bondage of sin. Because still them captives, that David and Moses and the Old Testament greats, still didn't have their sins forgiven until Jesus ascended. Okay, they didn't have their sins forgiven apart from us. They didn't have fellowship with the Spirit again apart from us, because apart from the church, I mean. So that's what this whole, and that's, it gives us a little bit more perspective too. If we're viewing stuff like talking like things like the last days, what is the last days? God's goal through the whole world was to get a bride for his son. And so we talk about the last days. Well, that's the important part there. And we're in the last days because the bride is, if you will, preparing herself for the wedding. So in verse 10, we'll start there, kind of setting the stage a little bit. We're going to continue on in verse 10, I guess. And so I want to read verse 10 there.
He who descended in is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that
okay, so he who descended, he who lowered himself, is the one who is ascended far above all else. He's exalted. He is at the right hand of God, and because of his obedience, that's what he did. That's what happened. And because of that, then he gave gifts to men, as we referenced back in verse 8 there. And we're going to kind of talk about these gifts here as we continue on. But the idea is that Jesus has the authority now. You know, it's not because Jesus was forced to, and he references that, I think it's in John somewhere, but he says, people don't take my life from me. I'm laying my life down, and because of that, then I'm going to receive it back. So he willingly did that, and because of that, he has authority now. Because he did the work through that, he has the authority. He's far above all else. And so because he has the authority, he's given gifts to men. Now, when we're looking at that, okay, so the reason of the last days, if you will, the purpose, and there's prophecy of that, was because there was no way to restore fellowship with God, for man with God, before Christ came. And that was the whole purpose that Jesus came. With everything that the last days are looking forward to, if you will, in the Old Testament, are looking forward to the time when God is able to restore that earth. When God sets in motion the plan to restore man to himself. Okay? And that's what it is. It's the last days is when the church age, if you will, because that's when the people are being able to be restored to Christ. And so he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts able to happen. Let's turn over first. Keep your hand here in Hebrew or Ephesians 4. Turn to John. John chapter 14, Gospel of John. Someone read verse 12 of John 14, please.
Truly, truly, I say to you, 14?
John chapter 12.
14, 12.
Yeah.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father.
Okay, so that's interesting there. Jesus is saying that the one who believes in him, the one who is obedient in him, is going to do greater works than he did. Well, Jesus' focus there is not on physical, for one thing. It wasn't that we were going to heal more people or cast more demons out or anything like that, because those were, again, for the purpose of proving that he could forgive sins. But he's saying that we will do greater works because he goes to the Father. And when he went to the Father, the Holy Spirit returned. And because the Holy Spirit returned, he lives in each individual Christian, and the Holy Spirit can convict the world. And we are preaching the gospel. See, Jesus, until Jesus had to ascend in order for forgiveness to even be possible. See, the forgiveness wasn't just there. I mean, yet the Son of Man on earth had the authority to forgive sins. But after that person's sins were forgiven, and then they went on their way, and then they sinned again, they still had sin. Okay? But it wasn't until after Jesus ascended to heaven that forgiveness was able to, through his sacrifice, was able to be one time for all, as Kyle talked about this morning, once for all. Okay? It was able to be there, and it took care of sins for those who were obedient. But then the Holy Spirit returned, and now we have the ability to preach the gospel in a way that Jesus wasn't able to because he hadn't sacrificed himself yet. It's not that Jesus was too weak. It's that he had a different role in saving the world, but we still have our role. Okay, and so he gave gifts to men, and as we see some of these gifts here in verse 11, we're going to start here now, back in Ephesians chapter 4. So he gave gifts to men to continue carrying out what he came and started. Okay, and he's going to help us do that, obviously, because he lives within us, the Holy Spirit. But verse 11 there, we're just going to look at the first one today. And he gave some as apostles, is what it says in Ephesians 4, verse 11. So the gifts he gave to men, one of them was apostles. And yes, as we continue on in chapter 4, we're going to see that these are gifts to the church. But in reality, that is who men were, because the church were those who are saved were at one time lost sheep, if you will. And so we are being brought back to the fold. And so that's a gift to men. When it says peace on earth, when Jesus, the angels are singing out Jesus' birth, peace on earth, glory to God in the highest, and peace among men with whom he's pleased, it says. And that's not often read. Because it's usually peace among men. Peace on earth among men is where it stops. They don't continue with whom he's pleased. So it's not a blanket forgiveness for every single man, every single person. It's a forgiveness for those who with whom he's pleased. It's a forgiveness of those who are obedient to him. And so there's gifts to men, those who are obedient to him. Because it is a gift. Every one of these here, as we'll see, is a gift to us, because at one time we were lost, and now we have the Holy Spirit. If we pass the test, we have the Holy Spirit, and so now that gift, that's a great gift for us, because we're able to, through the preaching of others and through the Word, because that's how God set it up, is not just that He made everybody believe, but He convicted people through His Word and through the preaching of others. He gave gifts to men so that we could be saved and have that salvation yet to come. So we're going to look at apostles today. Now, the word, Greek word for apostle, means a messenger, one sent on a mission, or an apostle. Now, there's a couple different forms of apostle. You could reference this as a missionary, and that is true, because they were. And it is true that there are missionaries, if you will, and be careful to take the religious marketplace's view of missionary, because it's a pretty false view. Okay, they have their it's really, in a lot of ways, there's money making in it, and I understand that they need support, but there's a lot of money made in so-called missions, if you will. Okay, because that's just how it's set up. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and even in something that is meant for good, wicked people take advantage of it. Okay, so the religious marketplace view of missionary is not one we're going to be looking at. So kind of throw that out of your mind, because this is we're going to look at what the biblical view of missionary is, but more importantly too, what the biblical view of apostle meant, and specifically the apostle of Jesus Christ, because there's a difference. There's a difference between the apostle of Jesus Christ and just someone who was a missionary. Okay? And the idea is still going out and preaching, but we're going to see some of that difference today. So just turn back a couple chapters in Ephesians, there in Ephesians 2. All right. And before we read this there, so apostle, we're going to specifically look at the apostle of Jesus Christ here. And there's 13 of them. Okay, there was 12 original. Judas died. Matthias was added. So that was 12 again. And then Paul was one who was untimely born. Okay, and we'll get to that in a second here. But so Ephesians 2, verse 20. Someone want to read that, please.
Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone.
Okay, so this building, this spiritual building, is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, but the apostles are a foundation. So there is gifts. If the apostles are a gift to men, they're a gift to the church, they're a gift to those who are saved from the world. They're a gift because they're the foundation. They're the first ones. Well, I guess let's go to Acts chapter, I'm ahead of myself there. Matthew chapter 10. We'll go to this first here before I make this point. Matthew 10. And so they're gifts to men for a purpose, and they're a foundation to the church. Matthew chapter 10, we're going to go 1 and 2. Or no, 1 through 3. Hold on a second here. We can go ahead and read 1 through 4. Matthew 10.
Was that?
Yes, please.
Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him.
Okay, so specifically there, Jesus took, and it mentions his 12 disciples. And now, a disciple is a follower of Jesus. All of those who are obedient and have the Spirit within them are disciples. Okay? Now, and these were obviously prior to the new covenant, so they didn't have forgiveness or the Holy Spirit. They still were followers. And disciple is not limited to, you don't, just because the word disciple is used does not mean it's talking about something good. Because wickedness also has a set. Satan has disciples too. Okay, so that just means a follower. So he took specifically 12 of his disciples here that he mentioned. And he says in verse 2, it says there, now the names of the 12 apostles are these. So he gave them the name apostles. Okay, they're disciples, yes, but he put on them a specific task that was different than others. And it's just like someone who is a preacher versus someone who teaches other people or however that is, or whatever role they have. But these apostles were gifts specifically. There's a little difference that they had. They had their role, which was different than the prophet's role, or a little different than an evangelist's role. That doesn't mean some of those roles didn't overlap at times, okay? Because, I mean, an apostle could have been an evangelist too. But there could have been apostles at times, maybe that they had some prophetic vision or something. I'm not saying that didn't happen. So they can overlap. But there are specifically 12 original apostles here. And then so we see that Judas here, we'll make this point before we'll kind of build a little bit here. Acts chapter 1, it mentions it there in Matthew 10 that Judas was the one who betrayed him. And so we get to the point in Acts chapter 1 here where Judas has betrayed Jesus already, and he's already hung himself, and Jesus already resurrected, and Jesus has already ascended at this point here now in Acts chapter 1. And in verse 21 through 26, please, someone want to read of Acts chapter 1. Okay, so Matthias here has replaced Judas. We see that the process of replacing an apostle, and more specifically, when we're talking about, and again, apostle can mean someone sent on a mission, so people could make, you know, say they were a missionary, but that's kind of rare. I mean, that it maybe is used in the Bible. I'm not saying it can't be, but a lot of times when it's talking about the apostles, most of the time it's talking about the apostle of Jesus Christ. And so when they were to replace an apostle, when they replaced Judas here, I should say, just when they replaced Judas, there were specific details that had to be. They had to be with them from when John's baptism was all the way until Jesus resurrected. They had to be an eyewitness to that. It couldn't just be anybody who was, they didn't just keep adding apostles that, you know, later on. You had to be someone who was there, okay? And outside of Paul, which we'll get to in a second of why he was one, but let's turn over to Acts chapter 12 to start with. So they replaced Judas, and they had specific replacement requirements that they had there. That he had, that Matthias had to be someone who was with, had been with them all the time. He was a witness from John's immersion all the way to when he was taken up. Basically, he was a witness of the ministry of Christ. He was an eyewitness of that. Okay, so then James here. Go ahead. Both of them had to, yeah. They chose both of them, and they weren't. They chose two men, so there's requirements for that purpose. Luke obviously wasn't one, you know. So, but he was right. He wrote about it, but he wasn't one. He was a Gentile, but he wasn't one who went all the way there. Neither was John Mark or other people that, you know. Philip the evangelist, not Philip the apostle, or Silas, or whoever, you know, whoever else. I'm not sure when those guys became Christians and whatnot, but there are people who were Christians. Lazarus would have been one that could have been, but he was never chosen as the apostle of Jesus Christ. Okay, but so that they had had those requirements, and so in Acts chapter 12, 1 and 2, please. Okay, so interesting. James is never replaced. See, James was killed for the purpose of the gospel. Judas chose to remove himself from it. And Judas was replaced with specific requirements, but James we don't ever see to be replaced. Now, people can say, well, they can make up their own conjecture and say that he was, but that's a lot of conjecture, and there had to be pretty specific requirements to replace an apostle of Jesus Christ. And really, no one today meets those requirements. So anybody who is an apostle of Jesus Christ today is a false prophet. Okay, or false teacher would be better. I mean, we get the word prophet, we think the guy can actually prophesy. And the thing is that he's a false teacher. Okay, he's deceiving someone. He's tricking them. Okay, making money off of them. Okay, mission fields that, hey, give to the mission field that we're doing good things for the gospel. We're healing people. We're casting out demons and whatnot. And it's a flat-out lie. Okay? So they're tricking. A lot of people on TV are that way. But James was not replaced that we see. Judas was, because there was a need to replace Judas, but James wasn't. Okay? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 6 and through 8, please.
And after he had appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of them remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Well, through 8, okay.
Yeah.
And last of all, as it were, to one untimely born,
okay, so Paul was an apostle, and Paul is specifically, you look in the scripture when you read the apostle of Jesus Christ, okay, and it references them the specifically a lot of times the apostles. Now there, I think there's maybe one or two times that the word apostle is used for maybe someone who wasn't used actually for Barnabas, I think, but he was a missionary. But it's very rarely used as talking about just a simple missionary. It's most of the time it's talking about the 12 or the Paul being an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now you think of, well, Paul was untimely born, but Paul was also on the road to Damascus trying to destroy the church, and he was met by Jesus and blinded. He had a earth-stopping meet with Jesus. Okay, so Paul met him. Now, people could say that they have those same things today, and yes, you could probably maybe argue that a little bit, except for the fact that the purpose of the apostles are no longer some of the purposes of the apostles are no longer needed, and the reason that people might want to be an apostle today are for some of the things we're going to talk about here in a second, because they're into spiritual gifts or things with the Spirit. Really, they have made the church or the true gospel of Christ look like something of sorcery. Okay, and I was talking to Jay Wilson the other day, and he was talking about some of the people that came over from other countries in I think Washington, Oregon, that he had met, and this couple, they were kind of involved in some witchcraft and stuff like that. And he said that they were foreigners, but they went to some Pentecostal movement, and the wife had said, "Oh, those Pentecostal preachers are good mediums," was her comment. Because that's what it looked like to them. That all those false teachers have brought that in. Well, they didn't really bring it into the true church, but they're making it the true church look like that. Okay, and that's the That's the only reason that you're going to have people try to claim to be apostle of Jesus Christ, because, as we'll see here in these passages here, that there are some things that the apostles had to have, and they've really twisted and made a false view of what I think the New Testament actually was, or what the apostle of Jesus Christ actually did. They just didn't go around with these spells and everything and make everybody and deceive them in or trick them in to believe in what God said. The purpose of the gifts were to prove the word. Turn to John chapter 16. I guess I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here. John 16. So an apostle of Jesus Christ here, there was a specific purpose for them and a specific need. The church needed them. We talked about them before being a foundation. They were built. The foundation of the church is built upon them. Now, not them individually, but built upon what they did. Built upon the message that they preached. Built upon the work that they put into it. And so, John chapter 16, verse 13. This is Jesus talking to the apostles here.
Verse 13. And he, the Spirit of truth, comes, and will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come.
Okay, so, and yes, the Spirit is going to guide all Christians, but specifically here when Jesus is talking to the apostles, there's going to be a huge need for 12 men or people who are strong to lay this foundation. We look at the benefits of them laying the foundation, okay? But it wasn't something that was going to be easy. There was a need for the apostles of Jesus Christ. There was a need for the gift, if you will, of their apostleship for the benefit of men or the church, if you will. There was a need for them. And that's to Jesus, when he ascended, gift was able to start rolling. That gift was able to start being put to work. The gifts to men that he gave there, the gifts of the apostles. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Should have told you to keep your hand there, I guess. 1 Corinthians 15. So in verse 9 through 11, 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, so the purpose of the apostles, whether Paul was preaching or other apostles were preaching, the purpose was so they would preach and that you would believe, he says. There was an important foundation that they had to lay. Okay, they had to lay. That's why that picture is given, that they were built upon. And it's not like the Catholics think, where Peter was this huge stone that the church was established on. He's the leader, and that's the Pope's on down the line. That's not what it's talking about. The foundation that the apostles laid through their work is what was the church is built upon. And there was a need for people who are with Jesus, who saw that happen, to be those people, those men, that were able to lay that foundation. That's why it was important for them to be with Jesus. They could see Jesus, how he did. They could see that. And it was important for that. And we can see the character of Christ through the Scripture. But we're all 2,000 years into the foundation of the church here. Okay? Into where the foundation is. So there was a need for them to be able to do that, because they only had the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. So there was a need for apostles of Jesus Christ to set that foundation. And the last apostle, who is alive, John, wrote some of the last books of the Bible. And so when the apostles died out, the Bible was ready to go and take and be that, continue on with that. So there's a need for apostles, for the apostle of Jesus Christ. Any comments on so far on that? Okay, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. And we kind of referenced this before. In verse, we'll start in verse 2 through 4 again of Hebrews chapter 2. So the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that were healings or casting out demons or the blind can see or whatever, those were gifts for the purpose of confirming in verse 3. They were confirmed to us by those who heard, and God also bearing witness with them by both signs and wonders and various miracles of the and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. The purpose of those were to prove. That's what Jesus said when he heard the paralytic, the popular story where he is let down from the rooftop and he says, take up your pallet and walk. But first he says, forgive, your sins are forgiven. And everybody scoffs at him. He says, in order that you know that I can do that, then I'm going to do something less. Great. I'm going to heal him. Okay? But the world has that swapped around because there's no money in forgiveness of sins. There's money in healings. Okay? The world has it swapped around. There's money in supposed healings, I would say. And I'm not saying, we can get into that. That's kind of a deep topic. But there's money in it is why that is. There's profit. And whether people are faking it or actually have their mind over matter and think that they're actually healed or whatever it is, there's still money in it. Because if that can happen, then send us money so we can continue this ministry. Okay? So there's money in that. The important part is the physical to them, not the spiritual. And Jesus was opposite. He's saying, in order that you know I can forgive sins, I'm going to heal him. He was doing something great first, and he did something less great by healing him. But that was to prove that he could do the greater thing. Okay? And so the as we see here, turn over to Acts chapter 8 now. So the gifts of the Spirit were to prove the word because they didn't have the New Testament. Okay, and here's one thing, here's a thing that the apostles did here that only the apostles can do. And this is probably a little reason why that you have so-called apostles today and they ignore stuff like this. But there is something the apostles did here. So that Philip's preaching, not Philip the apostle. This is Philip, one of the seven, kind of known as the seven deacons. But they're the seven who were Stephen and Philip and another five. I can't remember all their names. But they were set for in order to distribute out the food is what they were doing. Okay, he wasn't the apostle Philip here. Because if we reference in chapter 8, verse 1, Saul was in hearty agreement with putting them to death, with Stephen to death, back in Acts chapter 7. And on that day, a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So we get to this story here, and Philip is preaching in Samaria. In verse 5, Philip went down to Samaria proclaiming the gospel of Christ to them. This isn't Philip the apostle. Because all the apostles still stayed in Judah, in Jerusalem, And Philip is not the apostle Philip here. He's the Philip known in other places as the Philip. He was an evangelist. Okay? So Philip's preaching here. And let's go ahead and someone read verse 14 through 18, please. Let's stop there. Because the point isn't on whether Simon here. The point is on that Philip was an evangelist. Philip was not an apostle. And Philip preached the gospel, and they heard, and they believed, and they were immersed for the forgiveness of their sins in the name of Jesus Christ, and they received the indwelling Holy Spirit. Because if you look at the words there, the Holy Spirit hadn't fallen on them yet. He indwelt them, but he hadn't fallen on them yet. And falling on them was allowing them to have a gift, because they didn't have the New Testament, so they had to be able to prove the word some way. So when they're going and preaching, they had to have a gift, a certain gift, because that's what Philip was doing. Because that gift was distinguishing Philip from Simon. Simon was doing stuff. Simon was wooing the people, but Philip had the gifts and was able to heal and cast out demons, and they recognized that. And that wasn't alone the purpose that they believed. They believed the gospel that he spoke, and they believed the Old Testament passages about it when he was preaching to them, because the gift was something that led them to that. It wasn't greater than the scriptures. It was something that he showed, just like Jesus' case. The healing the paralytic wasn't the greatest thing he did there. Forgiving his sins was great, but he did something less great to show that he could do the greater. And that's what Philip was doing. He was doing something less great through the gifts of the Spirit, which were still greater than Simon's gifts, but he was doing that to lead them to Christ, to be able to prove the word. So these people here who had been immersed, who had the indwelling Holy Spirit, they are Christians. They had not received any gifts of the Spirit yet. They couldn't preach the gospel because they couldn't prove the word like Philip did. And so Peter and John, who were apostles, came down to Samaria in order to they prayed for them. And in verse 17, they laid their hands on them. And then notice what it says in verse 18, Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed upon them through the laying on of the apostles' hands. It wasn't Philip's hands, it was the apostles' hands. And Simon could see it happen. We don't see the Spirit indwell us, but they could see the gifts of the Spirit being falling upon those people. And he saw it happen. It was something he could see. But it was only through the laying on of the apostles' hands. And he tried to buy it. So if any Christian was able to do that, because Simon, I'm thinking that he actually was immersed for the right reasons. I'm thinking that he probably had his sins forgiven, and he had the gifts. He had the indwelling Holy Spirit. But then this greediness came when he saw that, and he wanted the ability to be able to lay his hands on someone and bestow the Spirit upon them like that too. He wanted that, and so it was something that he didn't have. But he had the indwelling Holy Spirit. Yeah, you can say, people have said, well, Simon wasn't truly saved, and they try to twist, spin it off like that. I'm not saying, I mean, I don't know necessarily, because I can't read his heart, but neither can they. But from what I know is that it from the scriptures prior to that, in verse 13 of Acts 8, it says, even Simon himself believed, and after being immersed, the Bible writers didn't just throw the word believed around like they do today. When they use the word believed, it means that someone was obedient. Okay? It wasn't some flaky belief like people have today. So Luke is actually saying that Simon had believed and was immersed, and he continued with Philip. And he observed the sign. He was observing the stuff. And he was constantly amazed. So I'm saying that Simon was a Christian, but he didn't have the ability to pass on the gifts of the Holy Spirit like the apostles did. That's why there was a need for the apostles there. In order for them to be able to pass the gifts on, 12 wise men, and 13 if you include Paul, 12 of them or 13 of them that were wise, that were able to distinguish to help the church and be that foundation for them, because they needed to spread the gospel to start with, and they needed to prepare people to spread the gospel as well. See, Jesus prepared them, and then they were going to prepare people, and then the people prepare people, and on down the line. Okay, and so that's where those greater works are going into motion there. It's not about the healing of the blind or the lame or those who are demon possessed. That's not the greater works. The greater works is the spiritual deliverance that they were enslaved by. talking again about going back to Ephesians 4, where what was the purpose of Jesus ascending and taking captive the host of captives? It was because they were enslaved by sin. That was the greater work that he did. It wasn't that he healed people and gave them food. The greater work was that he delivered them from the slavery and bondage of sin. And so the apostles couldn't, the apostles had to pass on the gifts here.
And I think that's the wisdom that God had. You know, you could see with Simon right there that there was a reason for the apostles to pass on the gifts, but it could get abused a lot. Easy could be abused, and I think even Philip couldn't do it.
Right, Philip couldn't, yeah.
And so, you know, that was God's wisdom so that everybody in the world wasn't doing it for different reasons. Right. And he knew the apostles, you know, the apostles were of the mindset that they wouldn't. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's the point I didn't make there, like you made there, is that if Philip could have done it, Peter and John didn't have to come down there. If Philip could pass it on. And so it had to be Peter and John come down and pass it on. And I've heard, ironically, Pentecostal preachers twist this around to say that it was something different, but the thing is that if you can confuse people and make the Spirit come whenever, you know, then you can have you can control them, you know, because how they twist it off is that, well, you don't have the gifts of the Spirit because you don't have enough faith. Well, you need to put your faith in by giving money so that you can trust God in delivering yourself, you know. So that's the ploy that they're going to have, you know. And that's not the exact words or anything, but you have control over people if you can try and convince them that they don't have enough faith in order to receive something. Because if it's confusing, you can confuse people and trick them into it. But if you actually let the Scripture speak, then the confusion, God's not the author of confusion, okay? And so the Holy Spirit indwells every Christian who is obedient and is immersed for the right reasons in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. They received the Holy Spirit. But the gifts of the Spirit were just for a purpose, and only the apostles could pass them on. Philip couldn't pass them on. And there was a purpose and time for them. And when the apostles died out, the books were already written that make up the New Testament, so we don't need the gifts anymore because we have a more complete picture. And so there is a purpose of the apostles, a need for them. There is a gift that Jesus is giving, because there is an importance of the apostles being that foundation. So they were a gift to men. Revelation 21. Any comments on that before we, or questions or anything? Right.
Can't heal themselves or their family members.
Right, they can't, yeah. I wonder if they have enough faith that they can get healed. Apparently not. So, but that's the deal, is that it's confusion, and then they can twist. If there's not a direct instruction, or if it's not laid out in the Scripture, it can be anything. You don't have to be consistent about it, and then you can get away with it, you know. Yeah, Brandon.
And just kind of go along with the idea that, you know, anytime there's always this healing, it's, you know, the request for money is always somewhere in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, they might try to hide it behind different motives, but when you look here in Acts, here with this deal with Simon, if you go on like in verse 20, Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God." Mm-hmm. And that really just sums up that whole movement, that whole thing. You mm-hmm. know, that's their intentions, and where their heart is not in the right spot.
Right.
You know, they're trying to, you know, extract this wealth from these people, and these people are trying to buy that. Like you said, trying to buy their faithfulness and, you know, mm-hmm. further their faith through the mm-hmm. money.
Right.
And it's not going to do any good.
Right. Now,
everybody who passed it on eventually would have been somebody who would have sold it.
Right. Yeah. There was someone who would have sold it, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if that's so easily to do it, yeah. And that's why it was limited, yeah. Okay, so Revelation 21. Now, we've talked a lot about the New Jerusalem. And how that's the church. We see in verse 1 and 2 that, verse 2 specifically, that the New Jerusalem is a bride adorned for a husband. The church is the bride. Okay, verse 9 as well, it talks about that one of the seven angels came with seven bowls full of the last seven plagues. came and spoke to me, saying, come here, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. And it says, having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. So there's the new Jerusalem is the bride adorning herself for her husband, and she's ready for the marriage, okay? Or she's actually at this point, the marriage has already come. She's the bride, okay? But in verse 14, we're going to see the foundation. He goes through and he talks about the foundation of the bride. He's describing Jerusalem in as a city physically, but that's the picture that we're getting there. This city of pure gold with that's strong with walls and good foundations, and it's obviously a symbolic picture of the church here. But go ahead and read verse 14, someone please.
And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
Okay. So the apostles were a foundation to the new Jerusalem, or to the bride, to the church. Okay, so there was those gifts that without the apostles, we wouldn't have the church today. There was a purpose that Christ had for them. When we talk about how Jesus ascended and he gave gifts to men, he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, he gave gifts to men. There was a possibility and the vehicle, I guess you could say a little bit, the way that God had planned for men to have peace with God. Okay, for peace to God through all those with whom he is pleased, it says. Peace on earth. And those who are on earth have peace if they're obedient. Not everyone on earth. That's what he's saying. So he gave some as apostles. And apostles were a gift to men for the purpose of establishing the church. An important gift. And so even though we don't have the apostles of Jesus Christ today that pass on gifts, the gifts of the Spirit and whatever like that, they still had a purpose and they had the foundation. We have their teachings, yes. And that still is something that benefits us today. See, the teachings was benefit. The gifts were not the benefit that carries on. The gifts were for a purpose. The teaching is carried on. And that's what we have today. Any other comments on that? That's what
it's still a gift for mankind today.
Right.
To the apostles were.
And that's what John 16 says. Is that it goes and talks about when the Spirit comes, it doesn't say that you can pass on to everybody and they're going to believe that way. It talks about he'll lead you into all the truth there, and that's what they're going to guide people with, is in the truth, not necessarily the wooing them. He's going to guide them in true foundation. Any other comments?
We don't want to leave them. The misconception that God can't heal.
Right.
But what the problem is you find people are taking the credit for doing the healing.
Right.
And I think that's, and there's places where in James where the apostles laid hands on people who were sick. And what they were sick of, we don't know for sure. Probably
right.
More spiritually sick. But that's the point. We have too much emphasis on the physical part, not on the spiritual part. Being sick is kind of a problem sometimes, but being spiritual sick is really a problem.
Right.
Sometimes the spiritual sickness leads to the physical sickness.
Yeah. It can, because of consequences. Mm. You have something else, Brandon?
Nope.
Oh. Often Christ would cast out the spirit as part of the healing. It says
right.
So. Yeah,
right. The whatever evil spirit there, and that was, those were for, like, even kind of like the, it's the guy who was blind for, since his birth, and the apostles ask, well, was it his parents' sin or his sin? And Jesus simply says it was for the purpose of this time to prove something, you know, to further this, and yeah, people can get sick through sins that they do, yes, and there's consequences there. But the important part of it, because you can heal the sin problem. You can't always heal the physical problem from the sin. So the important part is the sin problem. That was why it was that important.
Question.
Sure.
Do you think he also meant that he was here to heal the spiritually sick?
Yeah, I think he could. Yeah, because he talks that when he says that, when he makes a statement, it's not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I think he's talking spiritually sick there. And I don't necessarily think that he was using the physical example for something spiritual, because the Pharisees also were spiritually sick too. And he wasn't just writing them off, but he was basically saying, I mean, they had everything, but these guys, the tax collectors and the harlots and the drunkards, he wasn't making friends with them in to hang around them all the time. But he was being an example of them to be able to pull them out of that, because they needed a physician. They needed something to heal them spiritually, and that's what he was going for. And the Jews should have already been there already. You know, they should have already, the Pharisees and the elders of the people should have already been on the road, you know, been fine. But they were still spiritually sick, I think. But he's referencing that, hey, they need a physician because they're spiritually sick.
Several times to have it done, and that didn't happen. So,
yeah,
I mean,
taken away.
And he, you know, so he healed people,
right,
but he didn't heal himself, because that's what wasn't what it was about. It was the spiritual
condition. Right. I mean, it, there are times that happen, the people healed, but no one, a Christian shouldn't die if it's all about the physical healing. Okay, well, we'll stop there this week, and we'll go on to the other, another gift of that he gave to men next week. Actually, we won't next week because it's a quick draw, but anyway.